Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me?
Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. And that's right, Brother Farrakhan. It is time for us to start thinking of building a nation of our own. Tonight's show, we have guests that will be talking about how we can build communities on our own land. So we have a wonderful lineup of guests to talk about the acquisition of land and how we plan on building communities. And we're going to open up the line. I'm going to let Brother our Muhammad Farm manager, Brother Dr. Risley Mufmeen, introduce our guests.
Yes, anybody on yet?
If you're a guest on the show tonight, please press the 1 on your pad, on your dial, press the 1. It will open your mic. If you're a guest on the show tonight, a speaker, and they all press 1 at the same time, so I'm going to open up the mics. Okay.
We have who's online?
0350. Who's
30350?
Brother Farrakhan. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Farrakhan.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right,
and we have 0544.
Assalamu alaikum, Doctor, Brother Patrick.
Brother Patrick, okay. Anybody else?
Yes, we have 8368. And this should be open. Hold on. Nope. That's it. We just had Brother Patrick and Brother Farrakhan on right now.
Okay. I was supposed to have Brother Shahid and Sister Shahida. He texted me that he couldn't make it because he forgot that he had already rented a one of those large trash bins to clean the property that they purchased. And, you know, he's a teacher, so he has to work in the daytime, and then he forgot that he got to go and put that, clean up his property because he's paying rent on that, so he couldn't make it. And so he asked, could he do it another time? And I said, yes. But to me, that's one great lesson that all want-to-be farmers have got to understand. Every action from now on has consequences. Every action or non-action. When you forget something, there's consequences. When you plan something and it gets in the way with something else that you had planned, it has consequences. When you plan something and then the weather changes on you, there's consequences. When you have plans and people you depended on to come to work or to do something for you don't do it, and what they do is essential to your next step and whatever plan you got, there are consequences. So, Patrick online, because Brother Patrick is a brother who has gone and bought land, has a small farm right outside of Atlanta, and he's been doing it. Brother Patrick, how long have you been doing it?
This July makes 7 years.
7 years. Okay. Now, I've been down here for 26 years, but I'm on 1,600 acres. And the type of issues and problems and solutions and thinking that I deal with is not like those of a small farmer, okay, because it's a whole different world. So I want to have him on because I knew that Brother Farrakhan, Muhammad, and Brother Shahid, and Shahid, his wife, they were dealing with small acreages, and that's a whole different mindset and questions they may have that I just really can't answer. So that's why I brought Brother Patrick on. So, Brother Farrakhan, tell us, we saw information about your, I think it's 100 acres?
Yes, sir.
And where, is it somewhere in Georgia?
Yes, sir. It's about 45 minutes north of Tallahassee.
Okay, 45 minutes north. What county is it in?
It's in let me see, what county was that? I forget the name of the county.
Okay, the county that you're in, it's going to be very important to you because they have resources called the Extension Service.
Mm-hmm.
And the Extension Service under the University of Georgia, they would have specific information about your soil type and the historical records of the yields and what crops are being grown there. Because you can be sure if anything anything that's possible has been tried, it's already been tried in your area. And so it's best to find out what has already been done, what crops have been grown, what were the yields, what are the problems, because you're going to face those same issues. And the reason that somebody stopped farming or whatever and sold you the land, there were reasons. So, you know, you got to do your analysis, your study as much as you can about that area that you're in, because now you are faced with the reality with how you're going to make things happen. So tell us, brother, so how many acres you got and what are your plans and what are your questions?
Yeah, sure. So, I was buying land in Georgia, and I found some people that I could buy land with because by myself it was just such an expensive expenditure, and I didn't want to overextend myself and allocate too large a portion of my resources to land when I had so many other things that I had to be responsible for. And so I decided that it would be best to call other people who may be interested, and that's what happened. I called some people, and they were extremely interested at the opportunity. And so within 24 hours, there were four of us. And I was just looking for small acreages, 10, 15 acres, and I came across a unique property. It was a 25-acre mountain with really good source of spring water and good views, and some work had already been done to it, so we had easy access, and it was a little more expensive than we were looking for. So I went on social media, and I found one more person that was interested. And so they reached out, and us five, and then that turned into six, potentially, we decided that we would buy the mountain. And so I discussed with the owner at the time.
You said a mountain?
Yes, sir. It was a 25-acre mountain. Yes, sir. And this was up in northern Georgia. So
wait, you said the mountain?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's just physically the landscape. It's a mountain where you have to drive up, and you get these 360 views at the top.
Okay, you say mountain. You know,
yes,
when
sir.
I think of farming, that's a real issue.
Mm-hmm. No, this property is not for farming. This is this is separate from the 100 acres. Yeah, this is just how I ran into the 100 acres. So I was just giving a little story about
how
I came in 100 acres. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so because we had asked a couple of people to invest with us, I had way more people inquire than I needed. So we decided that we would come together and buy a second property. So we came together and bought a 9-acre property, which was a little more flat. But we still couldn't necessarily farm. So we were going to buy a third property. And then, of course, I had other people who reached out because everyone knows someone. So, and this all happened within a matter of days because I negotiated with the owners, got the terms, and then secured the property straight with the owners. So this happened in a matter of days. So while that was happening, I put on social media, someone reached out and said, I have 100 acres in southern Georgia. Would you be interested in doing something with that? Since you have an investment group and you guys are building and you want farmland. And I said, well, yeah, definitely. Let's talk. And so we talked the next day, and when we talked about the 100 acres, it became clear that the potential for it was really greater than just our little investment group. In fact, I decided, well, you know, I love the idea of separation. It's something that the last time I was on this show, it's what I was on this show for, was the idea of separation. So I said, well, why don't we build a community? And the owner said, well, let me get you on the phone with the other owner tomorrow. We'll talk. We talked the next day. I told them the vision. They said, well, we'll give you the land. We'll just give it to you if you're going to use it to build a community. And I said, okay, deal. Let's do it. And so I put it on social media, and I had hundreds and hundreds of people reach out to me. And because I didn't pay anything for the land, I don't have any cost associated to pass down to potential residents of this 100-acre community. Now, Dr. Ridgely, 40 acres of it has been used for farming. The gentleman that was farming on it passed away.
What's he, black or white? Acres.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I have no idea.
So did you go down and see it?
No, I haven't. I have not gone down there yet.
No, well, one thing about land is real, and you just can't imagine stuff until you go and see what's up. I know. I tell people all the time, you trying to buy land, that's a reason. And so sometimes people sell land, and sometimes they sell land because there's another problem that you've got to find out what the problem is.
Sure.
So you really got to do your research.
Brother Freckon, this is Brother Patrick. I was just going to ask you a question in that vein, because 100 acres at this day and time, In the metro Atlanta area, we're right at about $14,000 an acre, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would recommend before you go too far is either if you can get to the land where you can see it, or mm-hmm. you know, I'm in Atlanta, you know, if you need mm-hmm. me to go out there and look at it. Because one of the things I've seen is, yes, they might give you some land, but there's so many issues with it that it'll become more of a headache than a blessing. And I hear your spirit and sentiments, and, you know, you don't want to get into a situation to where now you need to give it away because it's a nightmare. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, no, totally.
You need to physically feel, just let me know.
That would be great. Thank you. I really appreciate the offer. And it's really good that, you know, that you guys are here to offer these types of advices to people like me who don't necessarily know much about land. One thing I do know about the land is that it's very fertile, and that the land was previously used for the 40 acres was used very effectively and efficiently. But the owners, they have so much land. I mean, they're so well off, and they're so loving of Black people, and they're so conscious of God, and they're so fixated on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that they're really willing to give away 100 plus, because it's more than 100 acres. We're just starting out by using the 100 acres. They're so fixated on helping our people that they're willing to give fertile, income-producing land for the sake of us as a people having some place we can go to enjoy our expression, our culture, our way of life. They're willing to give it all up, to put it all on the line for a vision, for an idea. And I just, you know, I'm very grateful. And I'm going out there tomorrow to see the land with my own two eyes. But I do know that the land is very fertile. It's been used for a long time before the gentleman.
What crops are they growing in?
I'm not sure. I do have the information, Dr. Ridgely, and that's a really good question. And I wish I had it for you in front of me, but I don't know. I do know that it has been used for grazing. So there's 30 acres for grazing, 40 acres for farming, and 30 acres was subdivided for residential use.
And they giving all that up?
Yes, sir. And there's additional
black,
acres
as well. Are
they black or
well. White? Are they black?
They're
or
black.
White?
They're black, yes, sir.
Wow. That's great. The Black folks even have that type of resources to be able to attempt such.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Great.
And
well, yeah, but have Brother Patrick. Make sure you hook up with Brother Patrick.
I'd love to.
Yeah, hook up with him so he can go with you at some time.
I'd like to hook up with you too, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, yeah, I know, but my problem.
Expert on farming.
Yeah, but my problem is like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't need to be on the line. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're trying to put out watermelons. We just finished mm-hmm. the stable goods project. And I got a tractor that I can't get the lifter on the back, my three-point hitch.
Mm-hmm.
It won't go down.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of things in line and people coming to work tomorrow. And we're trying, I got to put down some plastic. I just finished bedding up the watermelon beds and knocking them down to put down the plastic, and I'm trying to put the plastic layer on, and lo and behold, my 3-point hitch will not go down.
Wow.
So I really need to be troubleshooting it.
Sure.
I got people come in to work tomorrow, and this piece of equipment is the only one that can do the next job necessary for them to do their next job. So this is the type of stuff that when you're farming,
part of it. Yeah.
when you're farming, everything becomes an issue. And yeah. So, mm-hmm. yes, if and when I have time, I would love
sure.
to see your property. But if Brother Patrick, if he has a shorter period of time, because I'm right in the middle of a planting season, so that means that I won't be ready to leave the farm until, you know, about 2 months.
Right. Okay. And what Doc just said is the key word, ability to leave the farm, right? And he's when he says 2 months, he's saying 2 months. It took us a year to get away for about 48, maybe 52 hours for my family to get away. And we were so stressed while we were gone, we end up cutting the trip short, so we come back to the farm. So that's the piece that I want to make sure everybody understands. Doc has been confined to the work. What, 27? Mm-hmm.
26.
26 years. 26 years. You ask him how many vacations, because vacation means vacate to where you can recreate and come back. I guarantee Doc ain't had as many vacations in those years. Because
one in three, one for 3 days. We just did that recently after Staple Goods 19 was so stressful. We just had to get out of here. And so we took us a 3-day vacation. But that's what farming is all about, and this is why a lot of people left farming. The young people, if they go to the city where they can work a 9-to-5 for 5 days a week and have that weekend free. No, people don't understand. Like a dairy farm, you got to milk the cows twice a day.
Twice a day.
Every day.
Ain't no holidays.
Ain't no holiday. Ain't no weekend. Somebody got to milk the cows twice a day, every day. And with chickens,
currently I have 85 animals on my property that I'm responsible for their life and death. 85 daily.
Wow. Yeah, you're a better man than me, son. That's 85 children.
Yes, sir. 85, and they all got their own attitudes, desires, personality.
Yep.
And it's real. It really. And I don't say that to deter. I just say that to make sure that as you're entering to, it's a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it slows you down. So you see which are the bounties of Allah? You know, it slows you down so you can see her. But we just want to, you know, by Allah's grace, because I was blessed to be able to be with Doc on one of the Independence days before I got the farm. And a sister asked Doc a question about organic. And his response, now I had been down, I was blessed to bring the minister down a couple of times with Doc. And I was blessed to be with Doc when we had the situation with the police on the farm, Doc. So,
yes, sir.
I had been there multiple times. But this particular time, the sister asked Doc a question about something organic. And he was driving the tractor. We were on a little trailer, on a hayride. And Doc's response was, I mean, it was cold, in my opinion, at that time. I was like, dog, Doc, that was kind of harsh. 6 months after I got my farm, I was like, man, Doc was mild compared to what he should have said, you know, from that question. Because the work that's necessary for him to do what his family has been blessed to do down there with the practices of no pesticides, man, Doc had to put a camper out there with music to trick the deers, right? That's real engineering and film, right? To figure out that the deers are smart enough to see that this empty camper could have a person in it, so I ain't going to fool with the watermelon. But they also are trying to figure out, okay, that camper didn't move in 3 days. They smart enough to realize that in there. Now they're going to make, they're going to set up a beachhead behind guys' lines, right? And so those are things that you have to get on the farm. You got to get into it to realize the coyotes will circle your property for 3 days to get that one chicken. And they're going to sit there, and they're going to get that chicken. And once they taste it, they're going to come get every piece of chicken that you got, right? So you got to be it outsmart. You got to realize that at some point the cows think this grass is green on the other side. And every time you fix that fence, they will go higher, or go under, or go through it, right? But the reward is so much greater than the sacrifices.
So, you know, a lot of mistakes people make is don't buy equipment unless you go to help somebody living on the property. Because people will come and steal. They love contractors.
Oh, yes, yes.
So somebody's going to have to move there before you do any type of work or development. Somebody's got to move there. Because people will steal anything that's movable, they will steal.
Mm-hmm. And there's somebody in that community that's been hanging out on your acreage that knows the acreage better than you, and they're going to show you for the first couple of months. And whatever you put down. And what I learned, Doc, what I ran into, I ain't have no black-on-black crime. I had some white boy crime, right? Somebody going in my stream with water moccasins at 3 o'clock in the morning and stealing stuff. I live on the property. I ain't going in the stream at 8 o'clock in the morning. But they walking through my swamp to steal stuff, right? So I ran into that kind of opposition. So somebody's going to know that land. You know, and then you just gotta until you claim it. You gotta claim it, and then they'll back off.
So, when you're talking about, you know, building a community, the people that you bring in, you better vet them very well, because a lot of times people from the city they thinking about green pastures, or they're thinking about they got a vision of something. They don't have a reality about. So it's very important that everybody is on the same page, and they come and they visit the area before they buy. They got to visit the area, get a hotel, and just travel around, talk to people, see what's up, because it's situations that until you're there, you just don't know. Because like right here at Muhammad Farms, you buy property down here, and then – comes and these gnats come hitting you up in the eyes and the ears.
Yes, sir.
You have a problem. So I know people who have purchased property in this area and have sold the property just because of the gnats. Just because of the gnats.
Oh, he's real.
Okay.
One thing, all these things
you have to take in consideration and do as much research as you can before you get other people involved in their money. You need to be able to answer all questions and go through everything that can possibly go wrong, because the one thing that possibly go wrong will go wrong. And so you have to be prepared. You know, as our scientists, before they wrote history 25 years in advance, they went out and canvassed the people. They didn't just decide what the future is going to be for 25,000 years without going and investigating everything, the people, where their head was at, where they were leaning towards, and then over time they had to send different prophets to put people back on the trail that they wanted them on, because stuff happens. But they didn't just come up with these ideas of what they're going to do for the next 25,000 years in a vacuum. They were scientists. They did their research. So we're always telling people, if you're going to buy property, do your research, because it can only – one little thing, you know, like suppose the property is near a nuclear plant. Well, when people find out it's near if it's near a nuclear plant, they don't want to be near a nuclear plant. You know, just stuff like that.
Of course, property is in – No, yes, sir. I'm just appreciating all this guidance, and I don't know if I should, I'm like, in this situation, I'm a student, so I'm trying to like not to say anything, even though I keep wanting to chime in because I have such like relevant things to say based on what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm enjoying learning, and so two things, and one is that the land is situated among an area with a lot of other black farmers. And so it's a very nice area. And there's other farms around, there's homeowners, there's people who've been living there for a very long time who are familiar with this land as well. Because the people who live around it some of them are related to the people that are giving me the land. So it's a very well cared for tract of land, and it's in a really nice, valuable area, because at one time it was being used in a very lucrative way. And then the second thing was that I really wanted some type of 3-day or 7-day orientation for people to go to a farm nearby so that they could see, just to make sure that this was what they wanted or what they, you know, because there's no way to really visualize life on a farm. It's something you really have to experience for yourself. And so I really wanted there to be a 3 or 7 day orientation where people who are interested, before they decide to make that plunge, can come down to Georgia and stay on the farm just to make sure that it's something that they feel comfortable with. Because the 30-acre residential area is large enough where those who don't farm don't have to go on the farm. But there are a lot of people who are coming and who have a lot of farming experience. Some are actual farmers. Some have dairy cows and want to bring their cows. Some just want to bring their expertise. Some just want to bring their knowledge. But some people have never lived on a farm. So it would be really nice if they could, Brother Patrick or Dr. Ridgely, and then I just was with Brother Ghazi a few days ago, and he's got an amazing 25-acre property out there he's doing amazing things with. And so if the people could have some type of a 3-day or and he mentioned you as well. He mentioned both of you, and of course he spoke extremely highly of both of you. And so if the new people could have some type of 3-day or 7-day orientation, that would be great, and it would help to solidify in their mind that, okay, now, in practical application, I actually am ready for this, not just in my mind and my heart and my spirit, but now I know that my body can withstand what my mind and spirit are trying to get it to do, because, you know, the spirit is willing, but sometimes the flesh is weak. So if we can come out there and test. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you just one quick question? Is the acre that they're going to give you, is that contingent upon you buying the mountain?
No, these are this is two totally separate. The mountain is in North Georgia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That was the putting the mountain purchase on social media is what attracted the owner of the 100 acres to reach out to me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I was just giving a little, and there's a lot more than 100 acres. We're just starting with 100 acres for phase one. Because if we can secure that and really establish a strong community there, then it'll be probably 10 times easier for us to expand further onto the other acreage. Yes, sir.
What part of Georgia are you in now? Are you here in Georgia?
I'm in Atlanta right now. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how long does it take to get down there?
It takes about 3 hours, maybe 3.5. Mm-hmm. 3 hours, 3.5 hours from Atlanta.
Okay. So, like Doc said, you know, if I could be of any assistance, just let me know.
I would love that. Yes, sir, I would love that. It really is a collaboration of the minds. You know, if we could put our minds together and work together collaboratively and collectively, because there's so many people that could benefit from the power of the unity of people who know how to farm. I have 100 acres of land in one hand, and in the other I have hundreds of people that are really willing and able and ready. Myself included, I'll be living on the land. I'll be paying the same as everyone else. I'll be doing the same as everyone else. So this is not, I'm not getting the land and selling it. I'm literally passing it on to every believer. It's like someone opened the door, like someone came like and like opened the door for me, and then I have like 100 other people with me, and then we're all going in together. It's not I'm going to go in and then close it and then open the door for you if I see fit, or if you have something that attracts me in my own vain desire or for my own personal interest. This is, I'm going to treat every single person the way I would treat the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I'm going to try to unite with them and pull my resources together so that some of us, at least some of us, can separate and save our life and save the lives of our children and grandchildren so that we don't have to keep suffering and dying in the streets of America and begging the white man for a job and something to eat. I want us to grow our own food. I want us to milk our own cows. I want us to lay our own eggs. And by the grace of Allah, where there's a will, there's a way. Allah gave us 100 acres through these beautiful, loving, kind souls that he created. And he put it on my heart to pass it to the people. And the people are ready. They're anxious. If we could just get the people with the knowledge to come together for one, if we could just do this thing one good time, just come together for the sake of our people, there's nothing that can get in the way. There's nothing that can stop this. And I'm so grateful to Allah to be on this call, because the most important thing right now really is the farming. That's the engine of our national life. It's the engine of a community, and it's the engine of our own bodies, is what we're putting into it. And so, Dr. Ridgely, you're who you are. I don't know if you necessarily get the credit. I know farmers never get the credit they deserve, but brother, you are such a hero to us, you know. And anyone that has farmed or has a farm, I know that their appreciation for you has grown tremendously. The longer they spend on that farm, the more in love with you and your work they become, because it's difficult to appreciate someone when you don't know what they're doing. And that's why the Holy Quran says that we argue because we're ignorant. The less we know, the more we argue. The more we know, the less we argue, because we know, the more we know, the more we know that we don't know. And so it's like, wow, I'm on a farm for 7 years, and Dr. Ridgely's been here for 26 years. And like the brother said, you're putting trailers out. That's like black excellence is what it is, brother. That's black excellence is what it is.
Let me say this.
Yes, sir.
When I came down here, the black farmers came to me to help them with the black farmer lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And through that experience and doing the research and talking with the farmers, I really understood that they were suffering not because they did not know how to farm.
Mm-hmm.
They were suffering because they were the subject of a war.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know it, and they still don't believe it. But I know
that's right.
From me talking with different ones as to what happened to them, that I know it's a war. Like Brother Patrick, tell us about your desire and your attempt to grow and slaughter cattle to sell organic cattle in the Atlanta area.
Well, yes, sir. So we started off. My mentor had cows, so I got cows. So we raised that herd, got a nice size herd on both properties. He has 36 acres, I have 31. And we began to process. Our target market, of course, was our African Americans, you know, right inside our community. So we processed about, I would say, 20 cows, and we did it in like a 3.5 month period. Well, we went back to do number 21. You know, the guy was like, we can't accept you. No explanation or whatever. So he gave us some language skills. We go to the next USDA processor on the chart. He tells us, we can't process you. We go to the next USDA guy. We can't process you. So all of a sudden, our business that was going up instantly stopped. It stalled, checkmate. Well, they unified and said, you know, y'all basically were too close to our
to the potential market that we thought you all could have. And so they shut us down. Now, we couldn't process nothing. And the only way I began to able to continue to process, I was at the mosque kind of complaining to one of the brothers and talking out loud to Brother Adima. And Adima said, man, let's go down to Fort Valley State University. And we literally, on a cold drive, drove down, walked in the guy's office at the processor, and he said, this brother was a minister of Farrakhan. He can't process no meat, and we know you got a processor. And quite as kept, that's the only processed meat to this day I processed in Fort Valley. They shut me down.
Wow.
Yeah,
So what
farming is warfare. Wow.
You see, when we were farming, you know, we had bought 16 million acres of land by 1910.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy saw it as a threat.
Mm.
And so they started, you know, went to war with the black farmers. So the idea that you have is a great idea. Just realize that people have had those ideas before. And it's not because they were not willing, but you're going to have some real issues that you're going to have to deal with. And that's why you got to have your ducks in a row at all times. Get your legal work done.
Yes, sir.
Legal work done. Find out everything you can about that piece of property. Because people just don't give away 100 acres, especially if it's profitable, if they've got some development, they've started. So you need to find out all that you can to answer the questions of all the potential investors and potential people who want to move there. All those things have got to be checked out. You got to get involved with your county commissioners in that area to see what's going on with your the health department, the code people for the county, to be able to determine what you can put there and what you can't put there. You're still in America, so you've got to make sure that you do all your due diligence, because wherever they can mess with you and they got the power to do it, they will do it. So if it's a predominantly black county, you need to go down to the county commissioners and go to a meeting and to see who's really in charge, because I'm in a predominantly black county and the black folks not in charge. All right? It's 60% black, but they're not in charge. So you got to find those things out. I found out the hard way. Right now, we in 3 miles in on two dirt roads that until today, Brother Patrick, I'm going to post it up. I'm going to post it up, man. They finally came with the sloper today.
Wow.
2 years I've been fighting them
to
use a sloper to dig the ditches on our road. And yesterday, I saw them working on another road with that sloper. And I went up to them. I took a picture first, and I went and then, of course, I know what was going to happen. So one of the roads people came up to me and said, yes, sir, can I help you? I said, yeah. I knew what's the nigga doing taking pictures. I said, yeah. I said, I need y'all to use that machine on my road. I see you use it in many other roads in this county, and I would appreciate you using it on my road. So today, they showed up. Now, what you think he changed his – why do you think he changed his heart? Because I took pictures.
Yeah, evidence.
And they know me. But I've been fighting them for 25 years. 25 years about these roads. 25 years I've been fighting them. And finally today, they came with a sloper. I'm going to post it, Brother Patrick. I'm going to be fan square. I'm going to actually post it. Let them, you know, you did good. So I'm going to post it because y'all been doing bad for 25 years. But these are the types of things that everybody's on the same page, and you've got the information so everybody can be on the same page, and you've done your due diligence. Then you can be assured of success.
Yes, sir.
But America,
thank you, Dr.
Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, said that business is warfare.
Yes, sir.
And land is the key to freedom. Now, there's two things white folks don't want. Don't want you to be free and don't want you to have no businesses.
Yeah. Right.
So those types of things that as the leader of your group in that area, the leader of your group, you got to do your due diligence to be able to, like Brother Patrick has to take care of his animals. You have to take care of your clients, of your people. You got to find out as much as you can so that you won't be surprised with something down the line that you did. If you get surprised and you've done all your due diligence that you could, well, you just got surprised. But if you not do all your due diligence, if you're just going on somebody's word without you doing your due diligence,
you'd be disappointed.
You need due diligence before you get other people for them to move, get ready to move. Make sure you do your due diligence so when they make that move, they know what they're getting into.
Yes, sir.
And because we do not want people to have bad experiences, because one thing black folks will do, talk about it.
We're trying to get that land. They ain't, you know,
they will,
it'd be another 50
they
years.
They will spread bad news on you. So make sure that you do all that you can. And I feel your spirit, and I know that you will. And you get in contact with Brother Patrick. That's why I brought him on the line, because he is more experienced with the situation that you are in than I am. Okay, mine's a completely different situation. So what other questions do you have, brother? You have any questions? First of all, Brother Carlton. Is there anybody? Open up for questions. See if there's people on the line want to ask questions.
Yes, sir, I'm sure it is. Brothers and sisters, this is your opportunity. We're down to the last 12 minutes. Press the 1 on your pad now to be first to ask a question and make a comment.
The one thing they want to know, brother, how can they contact you? How can they contact you?
Yes, sir. They can email me. Appreciate you asking that, Dr. Ridgely. My email is my name, Farrakhan Muhammad Ali, @gmail.com. And
okay. All y'all should know how to spell Farrakhan Muhammad Ali. If you don't, you don't need to. You don't need @gmail.com. Go ahead, Brother Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. No, it's just that's the best way. I have that email. It's linked up to people who are helping me. It's on my computer. It's on my phone. If no one else responds, I can respond. We're checking that email in real time. I've been overwhelmed with inquiries and interest and people who are just ready to move forward. And so applying to people as fast as I can, as efficiently as I can. And like Dr. Ridgely said, I'm absolutely informing myself to the as best as I possibly can so that I can answer any questions very thoroughly. The good thing about this is that I don't have to go through anyone. I'm going straight to the county to get information. I'm going straight to the city to get information, and then I can pass. I am passing all that information on to interested parties, depending on how far along they are in the process, all the way up to securing a spot. By that time you do know everything that they know about the property that I've been able to get my hands on. And there isn't much that I haven't been able to acquire about the property as far as information, history, paperwork, things like that. There hasn't been, that road today, because I remember that on social media 2 years ago. And there's no such thing as a coincidence. And I believe that it's somewhat of a sign, Dr. Ridgely, that the white man's power over us is failing, and that Allah
yes.
Allah is putting it on the minds and hearts of our open enemies, that they have to get out of our way, assist us, or come against us openly. There's no more we're just suffering in America as slaves and woe is me. It's separation, or I know I have no future with you. And a lot of white people, Allah has put it on their mind to serve us. He's really making the head the tail and the tail the head. This is him doing it. It's not me, and I know you're out there with the camera and the pictures. Brother, I'm so grateful that they came and did that, because I remember what you were going through. But look at the day that it happened, after 2 years. Praise be to Allah, brother. I'm very honored to hear that on this call.
So Brother Carlson, does anybody have any questions?
Nobody has any questions. Don't say.
What?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I mean, this is a
bad
golden,
chance. Press
golden
one on your pad now. Press one.
Yeah, press one if you want to ask questions to Brother Farrakhan Muhammad.
Okay, we got somebody.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits, 5597. What's your name and where are you calling from?
As-salamu alaykum, Ramadan Zafari. This is Sister Kim Muhammad. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. And I got in halfway on the talk about the land, and I was like, okay, so where is it okay there? And I heard you say it was minerally rich, soil was good. You didn't really know what was grown on there, but where is it located, and how do we, if we're interested in getting involved in being a part of that community?
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I'm doing Zoom calls every day, sometimes 2-3 times a day. So if you can email me, it's about 45 minutes north of Tallahassee, Florida. And so if you can email me, I could set you up for a group Zoom. We're doing Zoom calls with between 5 to 25 people on each call.
Okay.
And then at that time, you'll be able to, you'll be able to tell me, you know, like what you're looking for, why you want to come. And then you'll be able to just hear what other people have to say. It's a lot of questions being answered, and you'll get to see the spirit of other people who are involved in the project, and just make sure that, you know, just make sure that this is something that you really, you know, you can find out for yourself if this is something that you want to be a part of. Those group Zoom calls are really informative. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. It's Farrakhan Muhammad Ali at gmail.com, right?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
Okay. We got one more caller.
Okay. Go ahead.
Caller with the last four digits, 9014. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. That's me. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. This is Sister Hadia in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I got in on the call halfway through as well, and just very inspired by what I heard. I had no farming experience whatsoever, but, you know, willing to learn, wanting to learn. But I was just curious, Brother Farrakhan, you mentioned a project. Do you have a name for the project as such that we can keep our eyes on and follow what you're doing?
Yes, ma'am. It's the 100-acre project.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
And yes, ma'am, I have a website up in a couple of days. We're working on the website now. We to be honest, we don't think we can build more than 40 structures on the property, and we already have at least half of them have been accounted for already. So it's the reason I say that is because the pace that the people are moving at, I'm trying to keep up with the people. I was thinking 3 to 5 years. And then after talking to people, I'm like, okay, 1 to 2 years. And then I'm like, okay, 12 months. And I just, and so it's like, Okay. I'm trying to keep up. And then the people already, like, we've gone over the cost of development for the entire property. We've divided that by the number of residences. And this is the amount that each residence is going to pay to live on the property. Mm-hmm. They're not buying the land because they don't have to pay for the land. They're paying to build the community. So every dollar that we give goes into the community that we're building. So we own everything that is there because we bought it. We own the farmland. We own the products that are grown from it. We consume what we produce and we sell the excess. We own the grazing area. We own the livestock. We own the horses, the cows, the sheep, the chickens, the turkeys, the ducks. We own everything that comes from those animals by the grace of Allah, with the permission of Allah. And then so we consume that, and then we sell the extra. Yes, ma'am. So it's a very, very communal, cooperative structure. There's no one getting paid. There's no one you have to, quote, unquote, pay money to live there. There's no one that is getting in the way of allowing this to move forward from a financial standpoint. So we're very grateful to Allah for freedom, justice, and equality. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Well,
thank you for your call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sister Dia. And do we have time for one more caller?
Yes, if
down
we,
to
if
the last 3 minutes. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 1987. What's your name and where you calling from? And you have about a minute. Caller 1987. Okay. That's it. We're down to the last 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Farrakhan, you have any last statements?
Sure. I just like to say that I'm very grateful for coming on your show, for you allowing me to come on. Very grateful for the opportunity to listen and learn from you, from Brother Patrick. I'm grateful to hear my Brother Carlton's voice, whom I know from a very long time ago, and every
Praise
time I hear him speak, it's a very reassuring voice. And so I'm just grateful to be in the presence of three great men, and I'm honored, and I look forward to speaking with you all again. And Brother Patrick, let's correspond, and I'll see, I want to see how you can be involved in any way. I would love your expertise, your advice, anything you have to offer, give. This is not exclusive. This is full inclusivity. We're trying to practice a level of divine unity, because that's the only way something like this works, is if we unite in the name of God and treat one another as if we were in the presence of God. So when we talk to one another and when we interact with one another, there's complete trust and transparency, and I pray that we can manifest some of that going forward, inshallah.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Farrakhan. And please keep us informed of your progress. As-salamu alaykum
and
Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaykum salam. Ramadan Kareem.
I learned.